ready. Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me, fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow morning.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Ross has four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bonesaw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, Chuck your law. Big dirty toy player.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I want one to sign. Just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
Our thoughts go out to Mr. Small Package Phil Boyd at this difficult time in his life. As last week, it was revealed... Sorry, I'm trying not to laugh here. Manchester City have been banned from European football for 2 years. After breaking financial fair play rules for signing Wilfred Bony. That's the funniest part of it. Someone absolutely useless. And now the whole thing's over. Katie, this must have been a difficult time in the household.
I've done my best to antagonize him the most that I can. I just play dumb and pretend I don't realize the situation and just be like, but why? But why? Why? And he gets angrier and angrier. But you should ask him. Ask him to tell you his version of events, because it's not close to the truth at all.
Okay.
And it's a really entertaining spiel about how City have been wronged by the man and they're completely not at fault, and it's gas to listen to.
Will he... I've just thought of something, and I shouldn't be saying this on air, but if we tried him, like, maybe for Ask Low Blows, would he pick up if we called him?
Well, right now he's in the middle of a darts tournament, doesn't answer the phone to me on Wednesdays.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, interesting. Well, look, Man City were taken out of European action.
And the best part about this as well, as a United fan, is the fact that now you only need to finish in the top five. Yeah. So I can't wait to finish sixth and let Sheffield United or Wolves or someone take the spot instead. Can't wait.
Imagine though, we got it. It'd be so funny. It's going to be like, oh, I can't wait to play in Europe next year. Where's this shit? It's going to be a mess. I'd rather this than if we won the league. I'd rather get something the City can't have while being shit. That's funnier. But anyway, as we get kicked off here on another edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, Corporate Keane in the house as always. Guys, what is the most interesting punishment you can think of in wrestling?
Do you remember Tough Enough? Yeah, you
used to.
Yeah,
I love Tough Enough. Yeah.
What was the season with Daniel Pewter on it?
Oh, season four.
Yeah. Yes. Remember he just went to town on Kurt Angle, like live on SmackDown, and just completely shot on him, and like Kurt Angle only pulled it back at the last second.
Yeah.
And it could have been really, really embarrassing on live TV.
Yeah.
And then WWE punished him by basically just sending Bob Holly and Chris Benoit to beat the shit out of him.
Oh.
That was gas. And really uncalled for, I think. You know, like, he was just trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, and also as well, like, the challenge was, can you go with Kurt Angle? Like, he passed the challenge. Like, yeah, he nearly beat him, like, if anything, like, and then he jobbed at the end, like a professional.
Yeah.
Like, he did his job completely, and then it's like, yeah, he nearly made a show of us, so we're gonna assault you.
Yeah.
Did he job in the end, though? Because if I remember correctly, it was like, he had Kurt Angle, and then the ref went, 1, 2, 3, ha, you lost, get the fuck out.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. I think Kurt Angle might have switched it and got him in something, yeah, and then it was a fast count because they were so afraid what would happen next. Was that the season The Miz was in?
Yeah.
So, Miz got elevated because, was he not like the star of that season?
He was hated, but like, that's not a bad thing in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, might watch that season again.
Yeah.
That wasn't a proper season, was it? That was like...
That was true Raw on SmackDown.
Yeah, because I remember trying to watch it once and I couldn't find it because it was just on, like, in the middle of the show.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it's like the Diva Search where they did the segments on Raw and
SmackDown. SmackDown's answering Diva Search. That's why, they brought it back for that.
Interesting. Keen, most interesting punishments in wrestling.
So I can't remember the exact punishment. I don't know if it was either he got suspended and missed WrestleMania and Vince McMahon had to be talked out of firing him, or he got suspended and Vince McMahon had to be talked out of suspending him and missing WrestleMania. It was something along those lines. But when Titus O'Neil like touched Vince McMahon's arm, just freaked out. Like, I don't even remember what it was. Daniel Bryan's retirement or something like that.
Yeah,
and he was coming back out, and Titus is just like, "Do you know, be really funny if I just touched his arm?" And just, everything about it is so funny. I don't know why Titus did that. I don't know why Vince got so angry. Everything about it was so weird. Like,
was it not like a big group set situation, and they were sort of like just like a jovial like slap on the shoulder? Like,
I think Vince did it to him first, and Tyson pulled him back like, "Hey, brother.
There was something about how he could have been potentially injured. Is that right?
I don't know. I can't remember.
That his old man Weetabix bones would just disintegrate.
Well, look, we've seen him like tear both of his quads entering a ring. Oh, sorry. No offense to tearing both of your things.
Mine was on the way out of the ring. It's not the same thing.
It's different. But like, yeah, so it's quite possible. You know, he's a brittle old man at the end of the day. Anyway, guys, busy show lineup. There's a lot going on in the world of wrestling. OTT was back at the weekend. Also, a big Irish weekend there. Also, a big weekend in the world of wrestling for Irish wrestlers. Eva Valkyrie, congratulations, debuted on NXT. We're going to be recapping it all. Of course, NXT TakeOver as well. The announcement of NXT Dublin. It's something that we haven't really penciled in because in our hot takes, this is something we've kind of covered before in a variety of different ways, so I don't think there's much new. But I do think we should, like, mention it because it's the biggest wrestling news involving Ireland of the week. So what are your thoughts on NXT UK Dublin? A lot of people are coming out against this. They're saying that it's like they hate NXT UK and anything they do, they're going to say it's bad. Is it a bad thing? Corporate Keen, I know you're a sympathizer with a lot of the people who feel that NXT UK is spoiling a lot of the indies. Is it a bad thing that we're getting a pay-per-view here?
NXT UK is shit. Well, I'm still going. I remember being there in like 2009, I went to see DX. It was Raw. They were coming over and they were like teasing how they're going to do a pay-per-view over here. And I was like, this is never going to happen. And they were pointing at like the stage and like, oh yeah, we could do like a pay-per-view setup over there. And I remember screaming and being like, come on, please. But it took them 11 years, but it's happening, so I'm going to go. Fuck it, it'd be funny.
I think it's going to be class, like, especially when you consider all the people they can have, like Balor, Becky, and so on.
Oh, man, Becky, they could have... Oh, but it's also, like, first of all, you don't know what... It's a takeover, you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if it was a taping or a house show, I'd leave it. Because it's a takeover, I'm like, right, fuck it, I might as well. I also don't think it's like... I think they're already doing as much damage as they can to the scene. I don't think it's going to make... I don't think anybody's going to go out of business as a result of this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they started regularly doing shows in Dublin, then I'd get your point. But I don't know. I don't think it's the end of the world, to be honest. But I don't know. I'm open to be, you know, to the anti-argument of it as well, I suppose.
It's an exciting time. It's definitely interesting. Like, when you think of the likes of... Devlin is already kind of staking a claim saying he wants Walter in the main event. Like,
oh no, that's it. I don't want that. That's shite. I don't want that.
Really? No, I don't want that main event. We've seen it.
And it was way better.
We've had it at its best, like.
yeah. I know, but in Tree Arena, with a Sean Ryan video playing, and the two of them with his greatest moves. Yeah,
Jordan Devlin defending the Cruiserweight title. Like, imagine making an entrance with a WWE title in Dublin.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it is. Like, let him wrestle a Cruiserweight. Like, that's what I want to see.
Okay, interesting.
See, I don't know how if it... Yeah, Devlin versus Walter, we've seen it. It won't be any better in the Tree Arena in front of an NXT crowd, like an international NXT crowd that might not... Because, I mean, I'd imagine there'd be a lot of people trapping over for this. Would I be right in saying that?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea what... I never keep track of ticket sales, so is this going to... This is not going to sell out.
It's not going to sell out. WWE never sell out. Like, okay. I will get some like kind of inside info on like the sales for Tree, and they haven't come close in years. So it's not going to sell out. It'll probably sell quite well though. Like, it's a big show at the end of the day.
Like, it's on TV. That's what's cool. It never actually occurred to me it was going to be on the network. You know what I mean? Like, because I paid fucking a fortune to see Nakamura at NXT a few years ago, and I paid for front row seats because I was like, oh, Nakamura front row, small show, this is what I'm doing. But it was just a house show. Yeah. Like, this is on telly. I went to see Raw live a few years ago in Manchester when they did TV taping. And it's actually really cool to see, like, the behind-the-scenes production side of stuff. It's like, I'm excited to go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great as well. You think about Eva Valkyrie just after getting called up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's going to be a big... But she's there's a really, like, an almost certain chance she's going to be wrestling in Tree Arena. Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
There's
going to
be a strong Irish presence. What if you get Michael May in a dark match or something? Exactly. Someone who's associated with WWE.
Yeah.
There's so much to do.
Oh, you actually just... Yeah, I didn't even think of that. You know, they do tapings.
They usually have local talent and tapings and dark matches and...
That sounds like a laugh. Oh, I want to actually, yeah.
Like, it's going to be deadly. And I've just thought about it. What about Devlin versus B for the Cruiserweight title? Oh. The rematch.
Oh, that's a fucking... That's a much better match. Yeah, like, yeah. Better that than Devlin Walter.
I'll be the booker.
Yeah, look.
What if we get Jordan Devlin versus Katie?
No.
You never know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You know, I can't do a flip. I couldn't compete as a cruiserweight.
Imagine. We're going to be keeping track and we're going to be talking about it as it builds up. But really exciting times and interesting as well. But then again, like, there's a lot of people coming out and giving out because it's an aggressive move on WWE's part. OTT are literally in the KRFC the night before. A lot of people are optimistic, though, saying that this could help them because there's going to be an international presence over for a takeover. So,
yeah, we forget that there's a lot of wrestling fans who aren't aware of the Irish scene.
Yeah.
But if they see an ad when they're watching Raw saying we're coming to Dublin, they'll go to that.
Mm.
So I think, like, I can't see it affecting OTT too much. The only way I can see it affecting it is if people only have money for one show.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can see as an issue. But even then, the cheap seats for WWE are 30 quid.
Yeah.
Like, that's not too bad.
And like, here's the mad thing. Like, could you see even, like, a large protest vote? Like, a lot of people will just go to OTT because they're OTT loyal. We know, like, there's a lot of people, like, on Twitter, for example, who are very anti-NXT UK. I'd be surprised if they went. Now, it's a shame that they're so entrenched in their opinion on Twitter that they're going to miss possibly the biggest and most relevant wrestling show that's ever going to be. If they... Now, it's their right to decide that way, and they probably don't feel that way, so I don't want to take that away from them. But, like, they're going to miss that, and they probably will go to OTT. Do you think that could have maybe a little knock-on impact?
No, it's a small group, and it's the Tree Arena. I think it'll do well. Mm. For me, though, I think... I was going to say, fuck. I think it could have a positive effect. I mean, OTT could end up selling out the KRFC, you know, because of it. I don't think WWE meant for it to be positive. I think they'd be more than happy if OTT fucking shot itself, whatever. But I was going to say, one thing I disagree with, though, is people who are saying, like, but this is going to... Like, I mean, Katie kind of decided there where it's like all these people, all these casuals are going to discover OTT, they're going to discover the Irish wrestling scene. And I disagree with that. Because I remember you saying, I didn't want to ruin it because it was in the middle of a really positive rant, but it was about Bate versus Devlin at NXT UK.
Yeah.
And you were saying, now the world knows how good Jordan Devlin is. And I disagree with that. I think the only people who watch NXT UK are people who are already following the European wrestling scene.
Well,
really?
I don't think that's aged well at all. Like, I don't think that's... Because, like, literally, like, the next week he won the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah, no.
Now he's on NXT. I think that's what it was, where it's a case of... I get what you're saying. You're saying the point is people didn't see that specific match.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it's a case of people... like, that was the wake-up call for even WWE. Like, I came out after that.
So the staff saw how good he was.
Yeah, no, because it gets talked about, and it gets ranted about on Twitter in the same way, like, Okada, Omega, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So that's what I meant by that, where it gets a buzz going around Jordan, and that leads to more positive
things. Not that people, like, casual fans are watching NXT UK, because I don't believe they are, personally.
Yeah, I agree. Like, no, I don't think it has a big viewership, like, but at the same time, like, I think, like, it's enough, it's a platform for people, and I think shows like this are going to be, like, again, I'm not pro NXT UK, but I think shows like this are going to be a positive for people. Like, it gets them in the door at the end of the day.
The reason why I think it'll attract casuals as well is, like, when OTT start, and Fight Factory have done this, like, our bread and butter is flyer and WWE shows.
Mm.
Like, flyer in the crowds who literally don't know there's other wrestling on. Oh, you like this tonight? Tell your parents to bring you to this. The parents... Oh, no, we have to swap back because of the colours. I took Kane's mic to make a point. But I like using the blue one. So, like, that's our bread and butter, is giving out flyers. And then parents see flyers. They don't know the difference between OTT and WWE, yeah. but they see, like, oh, my God, Contenders is, what, 15 quid? Yeah. WWE is 30.
Very true.
There's some of the same wrestlers on both shows. Let's just go to that. Like, that's how I found out about Fight Factory. Someone handed me a flyer when I went to see a WWE show. And, like, just think, you see billboards, you see posters. Like, WWE actually has a massive advertising reach. And you're going to see people on breakfast shows. You're going to hear people on the radio. And that's how I think it attracts some casuals.
It's an interesting time as well, because when we get a big, relevant show like this, it's a chance for companies to mobilize around that and to think, right, okay, now we strategize. We're going to get this big influx of potential fans as well. So it could help the scene overall. We don't know. We're gonna be talking about it much more as it comes up. But it's definitely the only word I could use to describe it was interesting. Because as soon as I saw it, I posted that on Twitter. And then later that day, an absolute shit show starts. There's arguments. There's this. There's that. I think we're in for a few months of that. And there's probably going to be a lot of hot takes about it. So we'll leave it for now and get to the hot takes that we want to talk about this week, because it's time to get this show on the road. It's time for
Hot Takes.
On a similar note, let's start off with Corporate Keen.
This isn't like some sort of new hot take thing. I've seen this on Twitter, you know, time and time again for months, maybe years, maybe not years, months though. Basically telling independent promotions to stop using WWE contracted wrestlers.
Yep.
And it's just something I agree with. I mean, like, it's one thing, say, if OTT are doing Devin Walter, yeah? And, like, they're in the middle of a storyline and one of them gets signed. You know, like, play that storyline out. Those are necessary, you know, bookings, yep. Whatever. But booking may be pretty deadly, or, you know, who's the other, who got signed recently?
Kids.
Yeah, you know, like, wrestlers like that are lower down on the card. Say, like, in the OJMO Omari type spot, I don't think there needs to be a WWE, you know, signed wrestler on the show. And as a fan, when I see, you know, even Mustache Mountain, obviously they need to be booked because they're champions now. But when I see a WWE contracted wrestler on a show, I don't think they're going to be there. Like, I don't buy a ticket going, oh yeah, I'm going to see Travis Banks. Yeah. I believe that Travis Banks is there when I see him. But until then, They get pulled too often, and it's not like they're a million times better than what else is available. You know what I mean? I don't really see the point in bringing them in. And as a fan, maybe they sell tickets. I don't know. Maybe they do sell tickets. But as a fan, personally, I prefer when there's no WWE UK lads on the show.
I think that's a fair point as well. It's tough. Like, now when you see, like, OTT still wanting to run the stadium, like, there's... They successfully drained a lot of name value over here. So I don't blame companies necessarily who do, because it's tough not to. But also, yeah, you can't disagree with anything you say, because it's happened. Talent's getting pulled all the time. Last time there was a stadium show, we thought we were going to see More Than Hype win the belts, and it ended up being More Than Hype against Grizzled Young Vets. You know, the WWE UK, you know, replacements, you know what I mean? It happens, and it's a thing. So I don't think there's any counterpoint. Katie, like, you look at this, like, from... you're going to look at this from a different point of view. You know what I mean? Obviously, True Fight Factory, you're involved in, say, booking talent and stuff like that. And also as well, obviously, you know a lot of NXT UK talent. What is, like, kind of, from that standpoint and say, run a promotion, how do you kind of see the lay of the land? Obviously, Fight Factory is very different, and we kind of run on homegrown stuff. So that's our bread and butter. But, like, how do you look at this, like, being in the middle, kind of?
I think it depends on the company. For OTT, I agree. I don't think they add a lot. Because, you know, there's so many well-developed storylines, well-developed Irish people, you know, and lots of indie people like Omari and OJMO and stuff that are doing really well. But Fight Factory, for example, if we book an NXT guy, it does genuinely sell tickets. Like, when we booked Isla Dawn, that genuinely boosted ticket sales, because we were able to put on a match that no one else had seen.
Yeah.
Isla Dawn versus Debbie Keitel, and that went over really well and it was really popular. But again, like, we use people like that sparingly.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you have to be so aware, like, to book NXT UK people, there's lots of things. Like, now every show should be using medics and stuff in this day and age. But for a lot of smaller promotions, they're actually priced out of using NXT people. So,
and not only, like, just to kind of give a bit of background there on what you're getting at, is like not only based on just the fee of the wrestler alone, because a lot of times like wrestlers like working for smaller promotions and they're not they don't demand big fees, they're sound enough, but in the checklist that every show now has to have to even like qualify for an NXT UK talent to work on it now, because WWE are kind of they're deliberately making it difficult for low budget promotions to be able to use their talents, because they can't afford to pay everyone full time, so they have to offer the independent side of it, but also they don't really want them.
But see, the NXT guys, they want to do extra shows, because realistically they're only like they do their block of tapings 1 week of the month. So they want to wrestle the other 3 weeks. They love wrestling.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, we've had no difficulty booking NXT people. Mm-hmm. And we're very lucky that no one's ever been pulled that we've booked. But they do have to run it by the office. All has to be agreed. We have to have the checklists in place, blah, blah, blah. But as I said, like, someone can be a draw for Fight Factory. So I think it's worth going through that every once in a while. But like for OTT, I understand completely. Like Pretty Deadly didn't even make their debut, you know, and they were already off. But I also don't think they were signed when they were booked for OTT.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit of a weird anomaly. But yeah, I don't know. Like,
it's a tricky one.
It's a tricky one. Like, when it comes to Scrapmania, I still love Mustache Mountain. I love their matches. I can't wait to see them. But I also don't want to get too excited in case they get pulled. So it's that weird like flip of a coin. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to get really excited about John Moxley because I know he'll be there.
Yeah.
But like Mustache Mountain, that'll probably be my favorite match of the night once they're there.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna hang my hat on it. Like,
hope they get battered.
Well, this is it. This is part of why as well. Like, we want to see them fucking, you know what I mean? We want to see what we think is going to happen. So ultimately, and again, that's something we'll discuss more and more as the weeks go on. So let's move on. Passing over to the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey, for the latest Harvey's Hot Take.
Sorry, I didn't think I was next, so I ate something. Sorry.
She's like, oh no, I only work the main kid. All right, calm down.
I just didn't
You're
occur
in the mid
to me.
Card for 1 week, like, calm down. Fucking ego.
So my hot take is Nyla Rose won the AEW women's title. She won it this week in AEW, which is great. This didn't have the best reaction with everyone online. But I'm going to use one person as an example of everyone who's complaining about Nyla Rose. And that is Sean Morley, a.k.a. Val Venus.
Ah, yes, of course.
So he has been on an absolute rampage for the last week, as if this has just personally ruined his entire world. And the gas thing was, the first negative thing he put up is he retweeted a kayfabe news article, right? And he's like, yeah, this is right. Like, a man shouldn't be winning a woman's title. And it's like, mate, you're just, like, not only are you a horrible person, but you're also dumb because that's a fake news article. Yeah. But, like, literally, like, 3 or 4 times a day, he's putting up really negative things about Nyla Rose calling her a man. Like, in this day and age, like, does it actually affect your life what people want to identify as? You know, if she identifies a woman, grand, let her. My issue with Sean Morley is he's trying to make wrestling into something it's not and trying to make this into a bigger issue. Like, this is one of his posts. WWE drops women from the women's title. Impact makes a woman the world heavyweight champion. AEW makes a man the woman's champion. The wrestling world is not the same I grew up with. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's almost as if the writers have a deep-seated hatred for real women. No, mate, I think you're the one with the deep-seated hatred for women. And then he goes on another rant about women, and then he ends with, realism in wrestling is dead. Wrestling's fake. Sorry, Keane. Like, you acted as a porn star for years and let a small Japanese man chop your pee-pee. Like, you have an issue with this? Like, it's just, of all the people who could be so negative towards Nyla Rose, I don't understand how this is his hill to die on, where he's like, why would you let a man compete in a woman's sport? Because it's not real. Because it's predetermined. Because, like, it's exactly like an action movie doing stunts. And then he brings up another thing. He's like, I once punched Trish Stratus in the face and I got in trouble for it, but Nyla Rose can win a title. I'm like, you just randomly punched someone in the face in a match that wasn't part of the planned match. Like, I don't think it matters that it was Trish Stratus. You just sound like a dick.
Yeah. So, and also as well, like, the main thing, it is like, she's a woman. it's like this is all, that's all it is. It's
like, most of the world has accepted this now. Yes. I don't understand why you're so personally angry about this and why you've decided that, like, this is the realism wrestling needs. Like, wrestling is ridiculous, and that's why we love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't understand his arguments, and I think he's a horrible, bigoted man. And I honest to God hope, right, that we don't see him walk onto AEW and this is the start of a work.
No, I don't think so.
I really hope. I really hope that.
They have to know better than that, especially after the heat.
The last few posts, he started tagging Cody and stuff in it.
Yeah, but I think he wants to. It's like, do you remember like Goldust before like he kind of became relevant again when he started tagging The Rock and everything? And he's like, hey, I've got a lot of good acting chops at The Rock.
Yeah.
I can see what you're going for, but we all know that's probably not going to work.
Yeah. So let's hope Sean Morley is in that same book. And we're all just looking at him like, no, mate, you're so far off the mark. Nyla Rose is a woman. Yeah. She won the women's title. Everyone's grand with that.
Yeah.
Get back in your box, you horrible little man.
And it's not only the wrestling world, it's the world. And that's what he's angry at. It's the world has passed you by. Sorry, Val Venus, but thanks for trying anyway. Moving on. Bit of a deeper one this week. I'm going to tie it back into wrestling, but it's a general point because it's big news. And I think... hit us all when it happened. So Caroline Flack, obviously I'm not breaking any news here to anyone, passed away at the weekend. It's reported to be a suicide as well, which is absolutely horrific, especially when you consider just a few months ago hosting Love Island, saw her in the news a few weeks ago. A lot of people jumping to, like, and again, I'm not going to take issue with it because people's grief is their own, but like, a lot of people are kind of jumping to the conclusion of that it was because of online trolls. I just want to point out, we don't know that. Like, it's one of those things where it's like people are, that's something that they knew about her. She got a bit of stick online recently because she'd obviously been in a legal battle and so on. We don't know what her personal reasons were for, but if we're going to use it to talk about this, then let's talk about it. And ultimately, I think where people are coming from in kind of like attaching the treatment that she got online to what happened, I think people are coming from a good place and they want to address an issue that's bothering them anyway. So let's talk about it, because people believe that she was hounded by online trolls at a low point in her life, who thought it was okay to attack her because she was in a position of privilege and she was famous and she was rich, and therefore she was immune to all of this because she was somehow higher than them on the scale. And yeah, of course, that's wrong. That's and it has consequences, and that's where it leads. And like, if one, I don't even want to say positive thing, because it shouldn't be a thing that happens to begin with, but if one kind of improvement happens as a result of this and people maybe think twice about how they talk to people online, then hopefully that's something that can come of it, that the world isn't made less shitty as a result of this happening, because it is, it's horrific and traumatizing and terribly sad for everyone involved. And I've stopped myself from even trying to get into it. And like, part of me is like, I've spent a lot of the past few days thinking about it and going, why is the world got this way? Why is this now a thing? And part of me is looking at it and going, like, is it a case of like, do you remember Ask FM a few years ago? Like, that was the big thing where it's like, this is how people talk to each other now. They're like, if they don't agree, it's automatically kill yourself. And part of me is like, is this like what happens when that generation has grown up and got onto social media? Like, and now that is just a default thing, because the amount of screenshots that I saw of her, like when she was dating Harry Styles or when she went through her legal troubles a couple of months ago, like a lot of people just going to kill yourself. Like, that is what she was getting reinforced time after time after time. And I'm like, this is horrific. It's very, like, people just aren't thinking about what they say. They feel safe behind a keyboard or whatnot. And it's hard because, like, to tie it back into wrestling, it's something that, like, if we're gonna have a look at ourselves and if we're gonna think about it, it's something that, I'm gonna be honest here, like, we've had this happen here. We've had this happen, like, not only on wrestling Twitter, we've had it happen in Ireland on wrestling Twitter. Like, not too long ago there, I'm gonna come out and say it, and I mightn't be popular for saying it, but hey, I'm not that popular right now anyway, so what's the difference? There was a campaign to try and get an Irish wrestler to kill himself. And I'm going to call it what it is. That's what it was. That happened. And then people came out and were like, stop, this is wrong. We see what you're doing. And like it did go away eventually, thank God, when it was called out, but it needed to do that. And the fear that a lot of people have, the fear that a lot of people had at the time was that it would get to the stage of where it's gotten to with Caroline Flack before people copped on to what was happening. So can we bottle this emotion that we're feeling right now? Can you take the feeling that you felt on Saturday night when you read the news about Caroline Flack and how horrific it seemed because maybe you weren't involved in that? Maybe you didn't troll her. And if you were in any way like a part of that, or if you even were a part of like abusing a wrestler you didn't like online at any stage, if you didn't see them as human, if you saw them as above you and it was okay to criticize them or give them abuse or get personal with them or insult them or try and take them down, could you just bottle that feeling that you had on Saturday and realize that that's the consequence of what you do, and that it's horrific and it's an awful thing to do to someone, and that you are then complicit when the worst happens? Even if something doesn't happen, it's the effort is there, the will is there, whether you realize it or not, even if it feels like it's something that's distant from you, or you're having a bad day and you're just venting at someone you feel won't even read your tweet or care because they're so successful or far distant or far away from you. For me, let's take this moment where we're shocked at the end result, and let's, like, I'm not going to change anything from fucking Low Blows taping in Buskers. I'm not going to change the world from here. I'm aware of that, and I'm not trying to, but like, we have a tiny corner of influence, and if you see it happening as well, because I don't think people are going to necessarily, people aren't in 2020, people aren't good at taking responsibility for their actions. They're not good at saying, oh yeah, that was me, sorry, I was wrong. That's not a thing that people do on social media. But if you see this behavior happen, even if you feel like you're going against the mob, even if you feel like you're putting yourself in the limelight, I think it's imperative to call it out. I've got shit myself because I've stood in the way of what I felt was a campaign to bully a wrestler, a local wrestler. I won't get into the details and start naming names and this and that. That's not what this is about. But I've got blowback because of that. I get booed on shows, and I get like little things I say picked apart because I stood in the way of that, and I was like, I feel that's wrong, and I'm going to speak up. And it I'm lucky that I'm in a position where right now I'm in a good mental state and I'm okay to do those things, and I don't try and put myself in that firing line if I'm not in that mental state, because it's difficult to be on the other side of it when you call out bullying for what it is, and people are like, well, we're not bullying, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. It's scary and it's brave, but like, if you can pull together, and if we can identify it, and if we can use this as a learning moment and as a teachable moment for what the end result of this behavior is, then maybe, like I said, I'm not going to say something good can come of this because it shouldn't have got to this stage to begin with, but maybe we at least can be like, well, I've made the world a little bit less shitty because I actually stood up and said what I thought was wrong, even if it put me in the firing line. Call this shit out if you see it. Put it down. Make sure these people, like, are discouraged from doing this, and it doesn't catch on as a trend, which unfortunately I think it has on occasion, and it's become quite toxic, and it's something that needs to go to bed. And I don't care if I get heat here, because fuck it, if I get in trouble, if they hate me, whatever, I don't care. But if it stops, if it makes people evaluate what they do, and if it makes them think about what they do for a second, or if it makes someone call them out for it the next time they carry on like this, then it could be the difference between someone ending their life and someone not. So, yeah, I'll take a bit of heat for that. I don't care. That's just my thoughts anyway. It's a heavy subject. Sorry to bring it down. We will get back to talking bollocks about wrestling. Do not worry. We'll move on with the show anyway. And let's talk about the in-ring stuff. Let's talk about the stuff we're here to talk about. I just got a bit too real for a second there. So let's talk about the good and the bad from the in-ring for the week. Starting with the bad, as always, because it's time for...
Say something stupid.
Say something stupid. Worst moments of the week. In at number five. One from Raw. Just a couple of things from Raw as well. Maybe this should have been higher. At one stage, their selling point for the show, John DeWitt, like, still to come tonight, we have Edge coming back from retirement, still to come, we have Randy Orton, why did he do what he's going to do, still to come tonight, actually happened on Raw, R-Truth versus Riddick Moss versus Mojo Rawley for the 24/7 title.
I'm into that.
Do you... Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Did you sit down and like go on and like stream Raw and go back to that specific moment?
I actually watched
you
Raw.
You know, he would have like, this is Kane.
Yeah, like I'm more into R-Truth, Riddick Moss and Mojo Rawley than like the same, you know the combination they're doing for like the 4v4 in the main event? Team Rollins and team, what's the other team? Team Owens.
Right.
Like that doesn't interest me at all. But when I see like R-Truth and Riddick Moss, I'm like, let's go, let's go.
My question was, do you think one person on the planet tuned in to see it? But apparently they did. Maybe that's why it's low on this week. I didn't think it was they're putting their best foot forward, but who knows? There you go. Someone's got to watch main event or they wouldn't make it.
I'm that person.
You just got to put stuff out there because, you know, see what works.
You never know what connects to what person.
This works, you know. Also as well, I had to feel a bit bad for MVP. Not a bit bad because he's probably happy enough, but a few weeks ago, now I felt bad after, like, we talked about it on the show, and then a couple of days later I was like, MVP was very bad, I really don't want to see him wrestle anymore. And then a couple of days later he came out and released a statement. He was like, well, that was my retirement match, guys, thanks for having me, it was great to be back, I just wanted to show my kid me wrestling on Raw, and thanks a lot for everything. And that was that. MVP's been on every Raw since then. And this week, he was in a match against Drew McIntyre. And WWE are apparently giving him a second run at it after he's announced his retirement. They're just pretending that didn't happen. They probably haven't even seen the social media post. They didn't even listen to him when he's like, thanks for giving me that one more match, my final match. And then they're like, okay, cool, thanks for that, MVP. Oh, MVP, are you wrestling next week? And he's like, oh, I just put up a thing on Instagram. Now he put up another thing on Twitter where he's like, if they keep paying me, I'm going to keep showing up. So, but it's kind of shitting on what was a special, significant thing for him. You know what I mean?
So happy to see him back, man. I love MVP.
I love the fact last week he came back and did
VIP Lounge?
VIP Lounge. He did one of them with Drew. And that's what set this up. That's where this
and
came
it was
from.
Deadly.
I'd love to see MVP as a manager or a commentator or like in one of those roles. He can barely move.
He'd be a very good commentator, actually.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah.
He's got personality, so I'm no complaint seeing MVP. But like, it's also, I just felt bad because he went through this emotional moment. Do you know what I mean? Imagine like after the Daniel Bryan moment where he's backstage and like he's just like sitting backstage like crying and like, he's announced retirement to the world. It's like, yo, Bryan, we're going to have you wrestle tomorrow.
Or after Ric Flair's retirement, when everybody comes out and this big emotional send-off, he just goes off to TNA and wrestles like a few more matches. That'd be horrible.
Yeah, well, at least that was his choice. Anyway, moving on, let's talk about SmackDown in at number four.
All I wrote in the doc was, God damn it, Mandy. It's no surprise. I've been bet into this, like, Otis and Mandy storyline for the last few weeks. Yeah. And they're finally having their big Valentine's date. And, you know, like, they have a little vignette. And, like, Otis is getting really excited. And he's getting hyped up for the date. And he's really nervous. And it's all very cute. And then the second vignette, she's in the restaurant. She's waiting on him. And, you know, like, he's psyching himself to go in. Like, but here's the tip, lads. Don't ever spit in your hand and comb your hair. Like, that's not cool. It doesn't look good. It's not attractive. And just don't do it, please.
I'll give it a second.
It's like when people lick their fingers and brush their eyebrows. I absolutely fucking hate that. Like, if I saw someone do that, I would just be like, no, sorry. I hate it.
Oh, phlegmy brows over there.
What if you don't wipe it in enough?
This is a gullier on your eyebrow.
So I'm not saying Otis deserved what happened next for doing that, but you know, it didn't lend well to it. So Mandy's sitting there, gets a hand on the shoulder. She's very excited that it's Otis, like, but it's not Otis, it's Dolph Ziggler.
Aww.
And then the next thing, it cuts to Otis walking in. Seeing the two of them sitting down ordering dinner, and then it just like sadly drops the roses and leaves, and it's honestly the most dramatic thing I've ever seen
in
my life.
Why is this at number one? I saw this as well. This is
sad. This is heartbreaking.
Yeah. Like, and not only is it sad, but did you see the reaction that Dolph Ziggler got on Twitter after that?
Oh, no. Is it proper
flames,
heat? Like,
good. Oh, and me, I'm fucking raging. Like, everyone's raging. Anyone who saw it, it's like proper fuck you,
yeah,
Ziggler.
Yeah, because here's what I don't understand. She wanted to go out with Otis. This isn't a storyline where, you know, like, oh, win a date with Mandy. She genuinely likes him. Like, she's waiting on him. And Dolph Ziggler walks in, and you're telling me because he walked in before Otis, she's just going to be like, you know what, fuck him, let's have dinner.
But have you heard the conspiracy theories and all that? What? This is why I'm really interested in it as well. Somebody was saying that, like, Sonya wants to go out with Mandy. So what she did was she sabotaged the date because, like, Mandy and Otis would have gone on forever, but Mandy and Dolph, I mean, that'll fizzle out in about a week or two.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's all these, like, theories.
He's a little fuckboy, like, yeah.
Now, do you know what? Now I'm like, Dolph Ziggler was, like, one of the wrestlers. I haven't been interested in Dolph Ziggler in about 5 years.
Yeah,
but
same.
Now I hate him so much that I want to see him get his head kicked in.
Yeah.
So it's good, but it's so shit. Like, I hate it.
I shouldn't have put it and say something stupid because, like, it's not the end. It's excellent. Yeah. It's, like, my favorite thing on SmackDown right now. But also, I just feel so deeply for Otis that I can't control it. Like,
it genuinely hurts.
Yeah, it does. And, like, I'm just like, just for once, right, can we just not have shenanigans and just let them, like, be together?
Yeah, but, like, have you ever seen, like, when a modern day sitcom decides, you know what, we're not going to do a Ross and Rachel, we're just going to put the happy couple together, and then, like, about 10 episodes in, you're like, boring. It's like, yeah, so there's got to be a bit of punch and pull.
There will be a swerve, but just for now, like, my heart is what always.
Yeah, it was a lot. Anyway, in at number 3, talk to me about the bad from NXT TakeOver last week.
I don't get the Bobby Fish thing.
No.
I don't get it at all. Like, for those of you that don't know, Matt Riddle has started saying to Bobby Fish, what could you
do? How many fish could a Bobby Fish fish if a Bobby Fish could fish wood?
Could fry fish.
Could fry fish.
And I think, like, everyone seems to be into it, you know, good for them. if they're having fun, that's what matters. But for me personally, I don't get it. Like,
why does Bobby Fish get so aggressive? How dare!
But it's also like, it's just how aggressively they're going with this. It's like they got t-shirts, they got subtitles on the screen. I'm like,
it's karaoke, like.
It's like, I feel like I might have, like, missed it, like that, and I probably haven't.
Yeah,
but I feel like I have. I feel like I've missed the origins, or I've missed the joke, or something. It's gone over me. Mate, like, did you?
This is a film reference, but is it like in Mean Girls where they're like, "Stop trying to make fetch happen"? No, that's not Mean Girls. That's Never Being Kissed. Where they try to get over the word fetch as slang, and, like, the running joke is, like, that's not going to get over.
Right.
Is it like that? Is it just not going to get over? Like, they think it's cleverer than it is?
No, it's over.
Yeah,
oh, it is over?
Like, the crowd are all going, how many fish could a Bobby Fish fish? And it's like,
that's
what?
Stupid.
What? Like, what? Like, and then Bobby Fish, like, runs at them like, I'm going to kill you!
So he's shark bait. He's just a bigger shark bait.
Yeah.
Like, threatening to eat people and has, like, a fish-themed personality.
It's no, but he's not playing into it at all. Like, there's
he has, like, fish, like, bones on his trunks, if that.
Does he?
Yeah. So, yeah. But he's not, like, he's not a fish. And it's just, his name is Fish.
See, the cool thing about this, though, is that Matt Riddle is Matt Riddle, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
What is going on with him?
No, but no matter what.
Him and Pete Dunne.
Yeah,
they're
doing great.
I don't like it.
Did you see their vignettes last week where they're trying to get to the show and they're going on a road trip?
No.
And they end up sneaking into Triple H's plane, like.
No, the bros are waiting for something special. I'm actually going to get
there. Okay, I'll go watch the vignettes. I'm just basing this off social media where just everyone seems to genuinely hate him and he just keeps making unfunny jokes.
No.
Randy Orton literally retweeted him today, just fuck off, I hate you. Like, that was
a love tweet from Orton.
Was it?
Yeah, read that again. That was a love tweet. That was like,
that's
that was
based off them. They are like, Riddle eliminated him at Survivor Series and Orton eliminated Riddle. So they're trying
that
to work. That's what I think what they're trying to do. I didn't get it until I read the comments because I'm like, where's this coming from? And then I read the comments. And
if it was anyone but Randy Orton, I'd be like, that's a work. But because it's Randy Orton, I'm like, you never know. That could be legit.
Just
like,
doesn't give a fuck.
No, but I think Matt Riddle doesn't lose anything. I think he probably gains from it. I mean, the crowd love it. The crowd thing is cool. I just don't enjoy it.
it's no, like, give me a hell yeah, or if you smell what The Rock is cooking.
It's very, like, wrestling.ie or something. Do you know what I mean? It's very, like, like, booyah. You know what I mean? I'm just not into it personally.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's what you imagine your favorite indie wrestler doing in WWE. You know, when they get, like, or like when Braun Strowman, like, stops being a monster and starts dancing or something. It's what you fear.
Yeah.
Because it's Matt Riddle, he gets away with it. But it's still shit, in my opinion.
He's cool that he still manages to pull it off because he's got it. But, like, yeah, it is. It's cheesy as fuck.
If it was Pete Dunne doing it on his own, That, no, that actually be really
that'd be funny.
That'd be
yeah,
funny. Yeah. It'd be so awkward.
That's why they work. That's why they work together. Matt Riddle just does random shit, and then Pete Dunne tries to do the same shit, and it's just really weird, yeah. In at number two, I want to talk a bit about the XFL, which I spoke about this last week in Ask Low Blows. It really works. But there's one, and I don't know, because I didn't get a chance to watch as much of it this weekend, but there's one thing that I did want to bring up very much, and I think, Corporate Keane, you'd love this. And the theory of this is hilarious and fun and a great idea. So they have a thing in the XFL where, you know the way you get like sports interviews, you get them after the game. In America, sometimes you get the coach on the sideline in the middle of a game and stuff, like when they're coming back from halftime. It's like, what's your approach going to be to this? In the XFL, they don't wait for that shit. They run onto the pitch straight after something happens. So someone misses a kick and they're like literally in their face like, what happened there? And they're like, I don't know, I just missed. They haven't had time to process it yet.
That is so good. Don't tell me that's the same stuff as you, but that is so good. You just sold in the XFL.
I mean, like, no, but like, you think it sounds amazing. It does. It and like, is. Don't get me wrong, it is funny that that's what they're doing and that's what they think is a good idea. But like, it is entertaining. But it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work because they don't know that, like, what happened? I missed. I missed.
Yeah, but like, sports interviews are boring anyway. You know what I mean? If you ever watch like a football interview, it's like, you know, what happened? Credit to the lads. It's a team effort, you know, out there. And,
and then, like, at other times, like, after a touchdown, they try to do an interview with them, but it's a team celebrating a really hyped up moment. So all they end up is an interviewer trying not to get mauled as, like, 40 lads run at her. And it's just like, all you hear in the mic is like, yeah! Yeah!
See, that's way better. That's way better. You've sold me so much on the XFL. I genuinely, I'm now, like, considering watching it. Like, that's.
Do. The XFL, you would love the XFL.
Is it Battlehawks?
Battlehawks are 1-1. They lost the weekend. Heartbreaking.
Solid mid-table performance. I like
the,
it.
The official Low Blows squad, the Battlehawks. I think a lot of people are taking this on. I know, like, Ryan, who tweets us. I know Jimmy Malloy as well. So a fair few people are taking the Battlehawks on. They're the official XFL team of Low Blows.
Battlehawks.
Are you on the Battlehawks train as well?
Sure.
Yeah.
There we go. Officially endorsed by Low Blows. Check it out. I think you'd love a kid just for this sheer randomness.
Where can you watch it?
BT Sports, and then, like, you know, if you know a guy who knows a guy. But in at number one, tell me about, I want to talk about this, very intriguing, from OTT this weekend.
It's not from this weekend, really. Well, I suppose it kind of is, because it's for, like, Scrapmania, yeah?
Okay.
They've got, like, a meet and greet with Moxie.
Right.
They've got a meet and greet with Pac. Cool, right? Don't get me wrong, and I'm probably in a minority, that's fine, but I really want to meet and greet with Eddie Kingston. Like, like, okay, Eric Rowan and Alistair Kay are the top tier, right, for me. You know that, yeah? But, like, the next tier under that is, like, Eddie Kingston. He's, like, up there for me. He's, like, one of my absolute favourites. But he's never, like, at the table selling merch or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? He's always there, but, like, I'm not going to go to him in the middle of a match and be like, hi, Eddie. Big fan. But, yeah, I just think it'd be cool just, you know, get a picture with Eddie Kingston or something. I don't know. That's just what I'd like to see. I think he's fucking deadly.
I'd be terrified. He's a very scary man.
Yeah, but he'd be cool though. Just like the thought of you running away from him backstage. Like, are there any like minor as fuck wrestlers you'd be interested? See, there's no point in asking you because you're like, you know, there, like, backstage and everything, but, like...
You know, I'm going to be lurking behind John Moxley, just photobombing him.
This is what I want to talk about at a meet and greet. Like, is there a party that's, like, even though, like, you want to be respected as a peer...
Want to join the queue.
But, yeah, is there a party that's just, like, wants to just sneak in for a photo and hope he doesn't realise? Just like, yeah!
Yeah, like if you get chatting to someone, usually it's cool to snap a photo, but you don't want to come across, like, following them around. I know, it's a fine line. I have not learned to walk it.
Fuck it, embrace the opportunity, follow him around, get, like, loads of pictures.
I'm always raging that, like,
every John Moxley picture just has Katie in the background.
Just over his shoulder, like, like, I'm always raging, like, when Kenny Omega was over, that, like, we didn't get a photo, even a group photo, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just to have those memories of, like, like, I love when I'm on a poster with someone cool, because then I can keep the poster and be like, I was on a show with this person, but, like, I have been consciously trying to take more photos at wrestling shows because I want to look back on this shit in 10 years and be like, this is me with so-and-so, with so-and-so. Like, So
yeah, fuck it. Get a picture of John Moxley.
Okay.
So, right. Okay. So we got to make a plan. What's the plan? And we'll add and take away from this, right? What's the strategy?
In the main event, run out and be like, "Hi, I'm a big fan."
How do we get Keane one with Eddie Kingston as well?
Like, see, what I'm here's the
thing. I'll misdirect him to the toilet or something.
Then, yeah, just throw a text into the group.
What I'm hoping is, right, so I got meet and greet with John Moxley, right, and I like him, I mean, you know, but what happened was last time, who were they meeting, who was the meet and greet last time at the stadium?
Gorillaz
of Destiny, that's who it was. Yeah. I remember Nicola had the fucking petition for BQ to get the title shot, and Eddie Kingston signed it because he was also there, because, like, it's just a part of the building where people are roaming around and stuff, so yeah. Hopefully, I'll bump into him in there.
I think, like, there's a good shot at the stadium that, like, a lot of the wrestlers just hang out afterwards at the show, like, at the merch. And he's going to have merch.
No, he doesn't. That's my point. That's what I want to meet. Because, like, he doesn't, he's in Tala and everything. I was at the merch table looking around. I was like, if he's there, he's there. And if he's not, I'll just fucking leave. But yeah, he's just not there. I'm like, fuck. I don't know. Does he have merch?
I'm not sure. Actually,
I'd have merch.
I think if we keep talking about this on Low Blows as the weeks go on, we can make this enough of a thing that we'll get Keane a picture with Eddie Kingston, and we get Katie to look like a mark in front of John Moxley.
That's probably gonna happen either way.
Yeah, look.
Like, you know, I met him once before.
Yeah,
I went to. Years ago, LJ Cleary got tickets for us to meet the Shield.
Yes, I remember you saying.
And I took Phil's brother at the time, who was only 8, and we walked up, and, like, he doesn't care about wrestling. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah, and Seth Rollins is like, "What's your name, little man?" I'm like, "He doesn't matter." I, like, went up and got my little picture signed.
Who not? Well, now, like, that's awesome as well. Now you get to, like, you're on the same show, you're a peer.
That's deadly.
That's
isn't
awesome.
It?
That's, like, absolutely class. Well, if you get booked, we'll see. We still don't know about that.
I'll be lurking backstage. Like, believe me, I'll be like, ring crew.
Anyway, guys, moving on. Let's talk about the good from the week, because it's time for. Best moments of the week. In at 6, we have to talk about this. NLW, another great show in the Mo Theater in Nice this week.
I started eating again, I'm sorry. I'm just going to put the food away until we stop.
Only with main events, kid.
NLW, I haven't had a chance to go down to one of their shows since they came back. I love the Mo. Like, that's where I started off wrestling, doing shows for NLW. So I just really wanted to go back. And it was a really great show. Paddy M versus Paul Tracy was like a proper throwback Irish wrestling match. It was gas. Like, when Paddy's on, he really is. He's just deadly. And it was funny and it was hard hitting. And, like, the kids were so into it. Yeah. Like, and that's what I love. I love going to family shows, because when kids get really excited about the wrestling, I get really excited. Yeah. And it kind of reminds you why you love it and, like, why you.
Well, you got into it.
Yeah, like, it's just a really good atmosphere. And, like, the way the moat is set up and all, like, it just travels really well, that excitement.
Paddy M versus Paul Tracy. And I said this on Twitter, and I know it sounded like I was making a funny joke or something like that. I was not, okay? Now, again, granted, I haven't been to any OTT shows yet or anything like that. So, like, I'm limited in my options here. That was probably my favorite match in Ireland, like, this year so far.
It was,
like,
very good.
I really enjoyed it. They were perfect foils for each other. The Mo was the perfect place. The kids and stuff like that, like, going crazy for it. It was amazing. Even during, like, the main event, like, Liam Royal and Darren Carney did a countout spot, and there was one kid, just on what you were saying there about the kids, and there's one kid in the front row that was just screaming at Foxy, "No! Stop counting! Stop! Why are you counting, Foxy?"
That was me.
It was proper and real, and just a worry and dread and tears in his eyes, like, it's brilliant. But also as well, the wrestlers, like, and that's what made Paul Tracy and Paddy M, the wrestlers love it, like, because they get to just, they don't have to wrestle that smart style or flips or kill themselves over something. They can do simple funny shit that they don't get to do on a lot of, say, the OTT shows. And it's just, you get to see a completely different side of them. Like, you got a main event, which is Darren Carney against Liam Royal. Even that in its own is, like, very unique, like, you know what I mean? It was brilliant.
But, like, yeah, I love the characters, you know, like, as you said, like, it doesn't have to be a flippy dippy indie match. It's people doing character work. The opener match was Justy and, who was on Justy's side? It was Justy and Michael May against Danny Butler and Be Cool. And, like, Danny Butler turned into the Fiend. Yeah, and kids up. Lost their shit. Yeah. Like, the lights went off, they came back on, he's wearing a mask, him and Danger Don, they're spitting blood at people. They're spitting blood at Be Cool. Like, it was a really, really good opener. Like, yeah. Imagine being a kid, and this is your first ever wrestling show, and this is the first match you see. Mm. Like, all this fun stuff, all these characters, like, all these cool moves. It was deadly. And then the other tag match I loved as well, because it was so different to that first match. It was Nathan Martin and Debbie Keitel.
Yes.
Against LJ Cleary, and was supposed to be Amy Lonzi, but unfortunately she got injured. So the surprise replacement of Session Mott Martina.
Yeah.
And it was just a gas match because everyone hated Debbie. Nathan and Lee, or LJ, just wanted to be friends all the time. And it was just, again, really, really good fun. Keane's looking at me because I accidentally called LJ Lee. Are you?
No. I was actually going to say something else. Like, do you know what I find really funny about that, right? Is that it's like, it's a small Irish show, yeah? And we like forget because we're Irish and she's been on the Irish wrestling scene for so long, right? But the surprise, like, replacement for Amy Lonzi was like a Ring of Honor, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Actually, like, in Nice.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
When you think how mad that is.
That's the shit that you, like, that's shit you get at NLW. Like, it's completely just random. Like, yeah, it's fantastic.
I loved the show. And, like, the interesting thing about Martina was, obviously, there was a couple of people who recognised her from OTT, but there was also just loads of little kids go mad because they're like, oh, my God, look at this girl dancing. Yeah. Look at her. Like, it was just a really nice mix of, like, family and fans in the know. I loved it. Like,
and also as well, like, it's nice to be at a show. There's no kind of like, it's just everyone who's there is there to have fun and enjoy the show and just let just switch off for a couple hours and just enjoy it. It's really nice. It's like, it's very laid back as well. It's very like, you know, they're not trying to like change the wrestling world here. Everyone's just having fun. It's laid back and it's what it should be. Sunday afternoon wrestling. Like, it's like, I'm just going to go and just enjoy my hobby for a couple hours. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't ask much of you. NLW deserves a really cult following. Like, genuinely, if you're not following it, the next show is in July. A long wait, I know, but like, please do make it your business to head down there. I think it's motheater.ie. It's a very fun day out. In at number five, let's talk about this. Because, yeah, sticking with the Irish wrestling team. Big news. Well, we knew it was coming, obviously, but, like, the promos were out. Eva Valkyrie debuted. It was fairly surreal.
Oh, it was mad to watch.
UK. Yeah.
Mad to
Did
watch.
You cry?
I didn't cry this time. I've got a lot of crying out my sister recently. And I'd kind of seen, like, she sent me like videos and pictures and stuff. So yeah. I kind of knew a lot of what was planned. She did tell me to watch out because she had a really cool entrance and she was not lying. Yeah. She had strobe lights and music and fog and poses and it was deadly.
Yeah.
Like, it was just really, really cool. I think she made a really good impression.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's been presented as a big deal. So that's what I'm excited for.
That was amazing. Like, especially when you consider, you know, NXT UK Dublin coming up. Like, it's, who's the NXT UK women's champ at the moment? Kaylee Ray for Valkyrie. That'd be
That's a daily match.
That's a class match. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen. Like, we've no idea. But, like, the way they're presenting her, the way NXT UK Dublin's coming about, it'd make a lot of sense. But really cool. And delighted for her. And also, like, showing off. But also as well, like, why it's so low is that, like, in this is that it is awesome, but it's only just the start. Do you know what I mean? And the only thing we know now is that, holy shit, she's a big deal. Like, remember the first time you heard Balor's theme music? And you're like, that's a main eventers team song, you know what I mean? And it's like, holy shit, like, it's kind of one of those moments. So wait and see how it goes, but very exciting times. In at number four, talk to me about the good from SmackDown.
Two really good things about SmackDown. Number one, the women's division seems well back on track. It had gotten a bit stale there. Bayley's run wasn't really setting the world on fire. And the two things that seem to have reinvigorated it is Naomi coming back at the Rumble.
Yep.
Like, that's got even the non-wrestling world buzzing, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmella. Carmella had her best match ever on SmackDown against Bayley. It was just really good. Naomi came out at the end. They knocked out Bayley. Again, got a really good reaction. And it's just making me excited that the road to WrestleMania, like, if the three of them were involved in the title match at WrestleMania, like, I'd be happy. Yeah. So that's a really good thing to see.
There's that's the thing with them, like, there's there's two really big women's matches on. Like, it looks nailed on for Becky and Shayna. And then Charlotte and Rhea was confirmed this week. So there's two really big women's matches that are going to carry it. So at SmackDown, they have a bit of leeway to give other people an opportunity and we can get a fun, different match. And so often in wrestling, that fun, different match ends up being the match you end up talking about at the end. So, and also as well, you're going to have people who are like, well, we don't want to be the other women's match. Do you know what I mean? So they're going to be fucking motivated to actually outshine. So yeah, it's very exciting and unpredictable in a time where we like we can plot out Charlotte, Rhea, and Becky, Shayna from here. And it's going to be awesome because the people involved are awesome and they're going to pull it off. We can see where it's going. We've seen these storylines of WWE a million times. I don't know where SmackDown's going. Do you know what I mean? So you can kind of have your little WrestleMania fantasy booker. You know what I mean? Which how are they going to do it? Is Bayley going to retain? How's Sasha going to get involved? Is she
are we
going to
have four title matches at WrestleMania because the tag titles?
Yeah, you could. It's 17 hours long this year. So like, yeah, you absolutely could.
That's cool. Yeah, no, it's just, it made me excited for the SmackDown Women's Division again. And then Hulk Hogan was on the telly. And at first I was very apprehensive about this because I don't want to see Hulk Hogan on my telly. But he was in a segment where he's talking about Goldberg because Goldberg is going to challenge The Fiend. I don't really know how we got to there. I didn't watch it last week. I don't know what's going on there. But Bray Wyatt interrupted Hogan's promo to basically just take none of his shit. He basically just ripped off his catchphrases, cut him off, and then ignored him till Hogan walked off, which I know was probably like the idea of the promo, but it seemed a little bit real. I just found it gas that like he was just having none of his shit. He was just like, no, go away. Like, and he did. He got up and left. But what I find interesting is the fact that they're using Hogan at all and the fact they're using Goldberg. Like, are they going to start using like legends to put The Fiend over?
What I think it is A, Saudi Arabia.
Shit.
Like, that's what... but that's where... To be honest, I don't mind it. Because it's like, in Saudi Arabia, we're not losing the match we're looking forward to. Wyatt Goldberg is a complete throwaway. It's a chance for a guy, a legend, to make a big payday. It's going to be a nothing match.
I think Goldberg's going to batter him.
No.
Yeah,
no, he can't.
Wyatt is destroying him. Like that's what's going to happen.
But do you think Goldberg will let himself be put in that position even for a big payday?
I think Goldberg is going to batter. That's going to be so funny.
The best case scenario is The Fiend batters Goldberg and beats him very, very quickly.
But I think you're looking at like Goldberg comes straight out and spears him. And then like The Fiend gets right back up. So he spears him again. Fiend gets back up. Spears him a third time. The Fiend stays down. Jackhammer. One. Kick out at one. Goldberg freaked out, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, Bray's going to win. I think that's going to be a general loose outline of the match.
I can't see Goldberg doing
that. Is Goldberg retired, like, after this? Will this be, like, his last match?
No.
Oh, well, then. You see, like, for me, it's... I know people always say legends have to lose and all that, but I feel like when legends keep losing, it's kind of like... I don't know how I feel.
He beat Ziggler. He had a really strong SummerSlam match.
I'm not saying he should beat Wyatt, but... Is this not like a second loss in a row then for Goldberg?
No, because he beat Ziggler.
When did he lose to Undertaker?
Was that not after Ziggler?
It could have been, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And Undertaker's old, so that's not like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not really like a...
But then do you really want Goldberg to be a part of the WrestleMania card?
No.
That'd really be funny.
Do you want like Goldberg Reigns to be the...
No.
Yeah, that'd be deadly.
No. Yeah, don't give Kane the book.
Really. I don't think they're going to waste... Like, what they built up with Bray Wyatt on...
See, because Bray Wyatt defeats people so easily, I'm actually kind of glad that they're using legends to put him over then. You know, rather than, like, feed him more and more new people. Daniel Bryan can withstand it because he's so popular. Miz has turned it into a separate storyline. I just don't know if you can really feed him many more people like that without destroying them. So I actually really like that they're doing Goldberg and him. I like it even better. It's in Saudi Arabia and I don't have to watch it.
It's a totally harmless match. That's the thing. Unless something like Keane says happens, which I don't think they're going to do.
Hogan's not getting involved, is he?
Who knows?
You know the way The Fiend makes people revert back to their previous like gimmicks and stuff? So do you think it's going to make Hogan not a racist? Or do you think it's going to make him a racist because apparently he's not a racist?
I don't think they're going to go the racism route with Hogan. it'd be unconventional if they did.
Because I love that part of his character where he sends people back. And like, does he become Hollywood Hulk Hogan? Or did they just ignore that part?
Did you notice he was Hollywood Hulk Hogan?
I noticed he's wearing the black and white.
Do you notice that, like, Mr. America and Hulk Hogan look kind of similar? Like, if you took off the mask, I actually think it might be.
There was a lot of talk around that around the time,
like,
yeah.
The dirt sheets and all that, right?
Yeah, like, and I remember once, like, he took off his mask and showed he was Hulk Hogan, but I think that was just a rumor.
I think it's his cousin.
No, that was Horace Hogan.
Jim Hogan, twin brother. Evil twin. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Scott Hogan, the Birmingham City striker. I think it was him.
Interesting times indeed. Of course, yeah, we've got the Saudi show coming up like next week. Jesus. In at number three, I want to talk about, it deserves a mention, the Randy Orton storyline continues to own. It's so mental how good Orton can be at times, and then like how completely missable he can be at other times when he's just like kind of not doing it. Like he can be boring and completely missable, but then like when he raises it up, he's just top class, like up there for, if this guy like had his career like at that peak or close to it for like the amount of time he's been in it, he'd genuinely be like, all right, we're putting him ahead of Cena. He's one of the best ever. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we had Legend Killer Orton or Punt Orton or that version of Orton, and what we're getting right now, Daniel Bryan, do you remember he was the leader of the Authority and all of that?
Punt Orton was so scary.
Yeah.
I was so scared of that.
But that's kind of, this is why I like what they're doing, because that they're kind of getting back to that now. The psych of, like, again, he seeded it in the promo he had with Edge, where he's like the self-destructive guy. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, he doesn't want to be this guy. So I love how they're after bringing Matt Hardy into this, because yeah, they do have to pad out the thing. This is Edge's like proper comeback one-on-one match at WrestleMania by the looks of things. So like they have to pad it out. They can't have him on Raw. He has to sell the injury and stuff like that. And then the next time he's on it, it has to be a big deal, however they work it in. So I love bringing Matt Hardy into the storyline. Last week when they did the promo as well, like, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this because obviously we didn't have a flagship, Matt Hardy walking back the story, and it seems like a legitimate story, a real story, of how him and Edge became friends again after the stuff that happened with Lita, where unfortunately the dickhead crowd, like, as soon as Matt Hardy, did you see this? As soon as Matt Hardy's like, I have a long history with Edge, and the crowd's like going, Lita, Lita, it's like, stop bringing up the girl.
Did you see how his wife reacted?
No.
By slagging off Lita on Twitter, and then people start abusing her, so she locked her account.
She needs to just stay locked.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, half the time she is on Twitter, she is locked. To be honest, I hope so anyway, because otherwise there's issues there. But I love it after bringing this in again. And like this week again, having Matt Hardy come out and just like kind of mirror Edge's promo, where he's like, I'm like Edge, I've got grit. And he's coming out with the neck brace on and he's challenging Orton to a fight. And then Orton just like walking away and saying, no, look, I'm genuinely sorry for what I did for Edge. Like, okay, and then just running back to the ring and giving him an RKO, and then just beating the shit out of him, hitting him with a concerto on the ring steps and stuff like that, just being a sick fuck. Like but what makes it is like, it's a storyline we've seen 100 times in WWE before, but what's making is Orton's performance. Just the torn kind of, like, again, it's similar to that Edge promo where it's like, he's hugging him, like, close to him. Even after he's beating the piss out of him, he's like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Concerto. It's such weird, intriguing behavior that, like, means you have to tune in next week. I love that stuff. That takes me back to when I was a kid watching WWE, where it's like, why did they do that? I need to see an explanation. I need that. I need to understand that. And we haven't got much of that in WWE these days, because the turns, like, we see coming a mile off, like, they've lost that edge. So having that element of it with Randy Orton's actions is really like it's a throwback, and it's fitting for Edge's comeback storyline to be this good, because imagine how, like, we're gonna have another pop whenever Edge comes out again after this. We're gonna have another Royal Rumble level pop, and let's not sell Orton short here. It's because of the work he's doing here. Because if we didn't give a shit, if we weren't invested, if we weren't dying for it, then it's like, yeah, we knew you were coming back, Edge. Obviously you were. It's a WrestleMania story, you know. So really strong stuff from WWE, and I think it's only going to get better as far as this storyline goes. In at number two, let's talk about the good from OTT. There was a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, there was. I just, like, get my phone out to check it. Ah, there we go. yeah, so it was a show that a lot of people, a lot of people were kind of weren't really overly hyped for it because it's a transitional show, you know, you're building towards the stadium and stuff like that. But it fucking delivered. It was so good. I loved a lot of this show. Like, I'm looking at it now of all the, like, things I have written out, and it's just, like, it's essentially the entire show I have written out. At the start, Haskins doesn't have an opponent, and he comes to the ring, and he's like, give me the best. I want the absolute best of the best. Will Ospreay was wrestling in RevPro the previous night. LA Park was at RevPro the previous night. And we got Captain Sexy, and I'm buzzing. I'm absolutely buzzing, man. Captain Sexy, he's fucking deadly. And then... there's a back and forth that, like, I can't really, like, replicate. It was funny, but, like, if I do it, it won't be funny. So I'm just like...
Look up the GIFs online or OTT on the back. But, shows it there now.
Yeah, then, just as the match is about to start, a third wrestler comes out. And it's Justy.
Yeah.
Second Justy Menson today.
I mean, no, we're fighting today. Boo. I'm only joking.
Justy's side. It's basically... Just he got himself booked. I mean, he may have booked himself, but it still counts. It's a booking is a booking. You know what I mean? And yeah, I enjoyed the match. It was a lot of fun. Mark Haskins, for me, is someone who, like, when I look at all, like, the regular imports, where it's like, you know, like the O'Marys and the OJMOs and stuff, I put him in that bracket of, like, somebody who, like, I'm more than happy to see as kind of, like, a regular. Like, if you were to look at the OST roster, like, he'd be on it. You know what I mean? I know he wrestles with Ring of Honor and he's signed or whatever, but I think he... I don't know, is he based in the UK still, or what's...
Yeah, he still lives in the UK.
That's steady if you can keep doing OTT and something, because I'm more than happy to have Haskins around, like, the whole time. Fucking...
Really underrated, like, player in, like, OTT. Think of all the great moments. Like, he was the guy in the ring when Jordan Devlin got his first title win, like, the Terry Thatcher stuff. Even now, like, he's been the backbone of a lot of good stuff in OTT.
The only problem is he seems a bit kind of... It's like... What is he now? You know what I mean? Like, I was talking about this with somebody on the way out, and it was a valid point. It's kind of like he was a heel against Terry Thatcher, but the fans still love him. Like, I still cheer when I see him, but it's like he's still a prick, but he's kind of like someone you want to cheer and stuff. So I don't know what the direction is with him, but I'm happy to see him on shows. I think he's fucking class. Speaking of O'Marry and OJMO, actually, O'Marry and OJMO against Callum and Scotty is a match that I literally didn't... Like, when it was announced, I didn't really think much of it. It's just a tag match, you know what I mean? But I should have, because it's like, it's four wrestlers that I think are fucking class, and it's building to something at Scrapmania as well, which is interesting. The ending of this match is what I want to talk about, where I think it was O'Marry had Scotty down for the pin, and, like, Callum Black comes in to break it, and the ref's counting, Boxy's counting, it's one, two, and, like, Callum Black's in, and instead of breaking the pin, he just stares at him. And then three, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
But that's because what happened earlier in the match. So one of them had, I can't remember who it was. I think it was O'Marry had Callum Black on his shoulder, and he's about to ram him into the ring post. And Scotty was standing in the ring, and he could either pin OJMO and win the match, or he could go save Callum Black. So he runs, and everyone thinks he's going to dive and save Callum Black, but he actually does a springboard moonsault and goes for the pin instead.
Yeah. But is it a turn, though? That's the question, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but, like, yeah.
No, but is it, like, what's this going to lead to? Are we getting Callum versus Scotty? Are we getting O'Marry
like,
versus Scotty?
Like, I love
Callum?
The fact that Scotty kind of, like, did it first, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, what Callum did was payback for what Scotty did.
No, because it cost him a match.
He's not happy.
I'm on Scotty's side, to be honest. Well, no, actually, overall, I'm on O'Marry's side. I'm a big fucking O'Marry fan. So if there's... Presumably, he'll be in the NLW title match. I'm just curious to know what the NLW title match is going to be. Is it going to be a triple threat? I'd love to see a four-way. I mean, OJMO is there most of the time anyway. So I'd fuck it, put him in, you know what
that's
I mean?
Becoming a sneaky great division, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
When you think about all the people hovering around that title, like, it's proper exciting.
But again, it's what I was saying about Haskins, it's regular imports who are, like, not just coming in for the big one-off match, but coming in again and again and again and kind of establishing themselves as part of the roster, and I fucking love it. Because again, O'Marry and OJMO aren't signed, so it's someone you can use, you can bring in regularly, they're going to put on fucking amazing matches. And I'm invested, I love them, I think they're fucking class, and I can't wait to see where that goes. Then Paddy M versus Eddie Kingston. They had Eddie Kingston cut a promo beforehand because you should do that. It's Eddie Kingston. He's fucking deadly. He did a promo backstage and then he had a match with Paddy M and he beat the fuck out of him.
I thought Paddy was going to die at one stage.
Yeah, I thought Paddy did die at one stage. This is like my favorite ever Paddy M match, to be honest. It was so good. It was so, I don't know, like, just It was hard hitting, basically.
Decent weekend for Paddy M.
No, but like this is a proper, like, you know, like Paddy M's always, you know, he's a comedy character. He takes the piss and all that. But this was like him getting the shit fucking kicked out of him.
He was getting Terry Thatcher's.
Yeah, yeah. And he, and also the ending as well. It wasn't just a case of like, because I thought it was a very predictable, like Paddy M was going to pin Eddie Kingston and I'm going to be sad because Eddie Kingston lost. But then, no, it was, it ended up being a DQ. I think Eddie Kingston ended up using a chair on him. And it looks like we're getting a rematch in the stadium. I'm guessing a rematch, maybe like a street fight or something. That'd be fucking cool. I'd be 100% up for that. And again, another person I want to see as a regular, Eddie Kingston. I'm so for that. It's fucking great.
Oh, yeah, you're probably going to talk about it.
No, go on, go.
No, just Eddie Kingston's other part on the show.
No. I'll get to that. Then there was Amy Lonzi versus Session Up versus Debbie Keitel. But the highlight for me came after the match when Debbie Keitel... Katie's here, I'm delighted.
What
Katie's
the hell, like... Are you kidding me?
Debbie Keitel, after herself and Valkyrie spent all week searching for CT Flexer, searching for Carl.
Carl! Carl! Oh my god, I died.
I want to reunite the woke queens, all three of the woke queens. And after the match, Debbie loses, and she's sitting in the ring, and she's crying, and everyone's just waiting for something. Maybe someone out there. I mean, we are in Tala. We are in the home of the man himself.
Carl.
And out he comes with a brand new slick shirt that I hope he starts selling. I hope he starts selling some woke with Flexer merch. Because that's what I want. But CT Flexer comes out. And after a bit of, you know, a bit of thinking, he decides to hug Debbie Keitel, and the woke queens are back. Nice. Katie, how do you feel?
I was shocked. Like, I was standing at the back watching the show, and I was like, what the hell?
Dude!
Like, I was like, they were so mean to you. Like,
well,
did you see when he tweeted me then afterwards? He was like, Deb's changed. She looked so sad. I hope you understand, pal. Don't pal me, like, after all this shit.
Oh, and I nearly forgot the best part.
Yeah.
After they reunited, who comes up on the screen? Fucking Dan Barry.
You know what pops me when he was talking? Then he goes, by the way, don't answer me. This is not live via satellite. I was like, yeah, that popped me.
Nice. And basically, we are getting CT Flexer and the Woke Queens against Dan Barry and two queens of his own that he's bringing that I don't think he specified. Did he specify?
No, he didn't specify.
No, he didn't. Do you know who that could be?
I have no idea.
Any idea who that could be?
Do you know, Katie?
I have no idea.
Okay, I have no idea.
No, I'm not clear.
I hope it's Sienna, though.
Clearly, I don't get told anything. I stood at the back and watched CT Flexer reunite with Debbie Keitel.
Well, I would say I'm sorry, but I'm not. So
it was the pitiful looks of the people around me that really got to me.
Yeah, you see, I wasn't hearing you actually. That was really funny.
I was standing at a chair and I just slowly slumped down like a meerkat. Like,
oh fuck! So that was really funny. He's like, you know what? I stand by the real queen of Irish wrestling, Debbie Keitel. Like, but you're like, you stand up and you're ready to be like brought into the ring or something. He's like, Debbie. Oh man, I love it. It just makes me love CT Flexer even more. Like,
too funny.
But then came like one of the most iconic moments in OTT history. So Be Cool took on Liam Royal. It was funny like that. I don't really need to elaborate on it. It's what you expect it to be. Great stuff, yeah. But it's what happened after the match that really got everyone talking. So basically, it was the True Pros were essentially trying to kill Be Cool. Like they were trying to end his career, end his life possibly.
To be fair, his promo before the match probably deserved it a little bit.
What? Go on.
His little promo where he said that this match is going to be shorter than Michael May's NXT career. And went on about how, you know, no, that wasn't fair because it's everyone's big dream in life to get jobbed out to Eddie Dennis in 1 minute.
He didn't deserve to lose his career.
Michael was very angry. He stormed out of there.
But someone, basically the True Pros, it was 3-on-1. They're beating the fuck out of Be Cool and things are looking dangerous. And who makes the save? Joking, Ray. This was the funniest shit. I literally did not see this coming. I was convinced we were going to be cool and Joe.
Yeah.
But I did not see this coming. Brilliant. At all. He comes out, fucking beats the shit out of everyone, fucking suicide dives, everything. I'm like, what the fuck?
It was like a Cesaro hot tag.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was like. It was just fucking boom, 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 boom.
But it was like, first of all, what the fuck? And then it was secondly, like, just everyone loved it like that. It was the reaction. Yeah. Was fucking electric.
The biggest pops I've ever heard.
Yeah. It was so funny. I loved
such
that.
A good twist.
Oh man, I loved every second
so
of it.
So good.
And it looks like we're getting Joe and B Kill against the True Pros at Scrapper. But Joe has come out on Twitter and said that, you know, he can't produce a show and wrestle at the same time. So I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna get. Could we get Luther Ward?
I was thinking more. I was thinking American Warrior.
Oh man, you just don't know. You just don't know where it's going to go. I'm so excited. I'm actually so excited for this match. Oh man. And it's a great way to use the True Pros as well.
Also as well, like I think we all wanted, originally we thought we wanted B against Joe. But this way means that this is probably going to go on. This could go on now for 6 months, like the videos and everything.
I'm sold for that.
Like, I'm totally game. If this
they're friends now.
If like, this is all OTT is now. Like, if this is the Joe and B show and then just, like, the Woke Queens looking for Carl and Tala, I'm like, that's I'm fine with that. That's what I'd watch.
It's an OTT. It's so many stories and shit happening right now. It's fucking great. Like,
there is a lot, yeah. They know it. Like, no matter what's happening in, like, Britrest, WWE UK coming over and stuff, they not always know how to keep themselves relevant. And then, yeah, of course, the stuff going on in the main event is some of the best stuff in wrestling now.
Yeah, no, actually, apparently RevPro had a great shot on Friday. I didn't mention that. Yeah. I didn't actually see it. Just Twitter talk. Apparently it's pretty good, so that's good. But not as good as the final part of the OTT show in Tala. it was David Starr versus Jeff Cobb, which, first of all, the story is so fucking good that everyone's immersed in it. Mm. And again, I see it on Twitter. I forget who it was saying it, but like about how now, no matter who you put in there across from David Starr, they're going to have a certain fans are either going to fucking love them to absolute bits with everything they have, or they're going to hate them with everything they have. There is no in between. Everybody's got a side, and you rally behind that side, and it's fucking really, really exciting. Even if you know, like, okay, well, no, but the thing is, you don't know because it's not a title match. I just realized that there, yeah. Like, Jeff Cobb could technically beat David Starr, you know what I mean? Anyone, oh, it's so good. Now you don't know, like, who's, what's the result going to be, and, you know, who's doing what. But yeah, Jeff Cobb versus David Starr, anyway. Good match. I'll get too far into it, but David Starr won. And then after the match, they've teased John Moxley for the last week or two. And it's... but they don't mention it. They didn't... I thought what they're going to do was, you know, intermission where they say, right, this is on the show. They didn't do that. So, like, at the after the match, David Starr cuts his post-match promo. It's fucking great. And he goes to do the whole thumbs up or thumbs down thing on Jeff Cobb. And because Jeff Cobb isn't a regular, because he's just a one-off import, he goes thumbs down. But Jeff Cobb counters it. And then Eddie Kingston comes out and helps beat the shit out of Jeff Cobb, which is great. I'm so for it. If this means Eddie Kingston's going to be there the whole time and he's going to be a main event player, go for it, man. That's fucking deadly. But then Starr grabs the mic and he's talking now. First of all, he mentions how in Belfast, Corbin has a title shot because he earned it. So that's one thing that's happened. But then, in the main event of Scrappermania, there will be a non-title match. But he didn't just say, he just went basically that a paradigm shift is what he mentioned, and how going from one billionaire company to another billionaire company isn't a paradigm shift. You're doing basically the same fucking thing. And he was like ripping into someone. And then he ends his promo by just saying, you know, at Scrappermania, we are going to beat the shit out of John Moxley. And the pop when he said his name was just, like, even though everyone knew what was coming, it's like, we're waiting for it, just say it, just fucking say it. And he said it and it's just, and then, like, Nicola's in fucking tears, like proper bawling, crying. I'm like, is that gonna be me when they announce Eric Rowan? Possibly. But it was just the excitement, and it was such, like, the buzz coming out of that fucking venue. I love the venue, so I know I said this before, but it's such a nice kind of small but not too small, you know, kind of way, like the right, again, Tivoli type size crowd. So you're coming out of there and, you know, you got that post show buzz in your stomach. Nice. Like, you're like, what's happening at Scrapper? What's happening? Like, well, I won't say what's happening, but I'm not going Belfast ever, but like, still, what's happening at Scrapper? And like, oh man, all the stories coming out of it. It's just like, Oh, it's so good. I'm
two other matches announced for Scrapper as well that night.
Oh, fucking hell. They announced
some bangers. So, yeah.
Okay, more than hype against Mustache Mountain. We saw that. We knew that was essentially going to be the way it was going to go, right? But then LJ's like, nah, I want my own match at Scrappermania. I'm calling out Pac.
I love that because he wasn't even announced for Scrapper.
Yeah.
I
was like,
I love if that was the storyline. Then Joe's like, he's not booked.
I mean, maybe.
Give me Pac. No.
Joe's like, maybe someday. Or, when he's booked again or something. Well, I'm glad that LJ guessed it right and he is booked. And he called him out and I'm fucking excited.
Yes.
And
well deserved.
Oh, man. It's just. That is what I want to see. Yeah. That's not what I expected at all. So it's great to see LJ getting a big one.
Also, Amy Lonzi and Sami Zayn as well. Yes. Sorry, that just popped into my head. We have a full card now.
There's so much shit happened, it's a lot.
It's coming together. And that's gonna be something we're gonna be following over the next few weeks. I cannot wait.
And you know what as well? About how OTT doesn't do rematch clauses, so Katie's not facing Sami Zayn.
Yeah, no, it's the one in that number one contender match.
so good.
Awkward.
I loved it, man. That it's only when I'm talking about it, I'm like that was really good. Like that show was fucking solid.
That's the thing. Like they tend not to like people don't go into these pre-show things. They still haven't. I don't think people have gotten used to OTD conditioning. They still go into the pre-show or the pre-big show shows, if that makes sense. To set up the stadium shows and whatnot, and they go in with the attitude that there's probably not going to be that much happening. They're almost always some of OTD's best shows because of the amount happening that they need to set up.
Historically, like the Tivoli shows were always my favorite for that reason because you don't know where it, you know what I mean. Like with Scrapper, it's kind of like sometimes you get a main event, say Devlin versus Zack Sabre Jr., where you know exactly what's going to happen. But with these shows, you don't quite know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's always going to be a twist and turn here and there.
We chatted about it last week, and I think it was yourself. You were like, no, we're not going to get Star.
Yeah, we didn't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought we were going to get Paddy M and Star. That's why I was really surprised when it ended by DQ. I'm like, oh, so is it going to be Paddy and Eddie again? Who's Star going to get? And then, like, after the match, I'm like, oh. It's so good, man. I fucking love it. I actually, how OTT.
We're sure we're getting Joe against B last week.
Yeah. How OTT managed to just keep delivering year after year is just fucking like, it's just not slowing down.
No, credit where it's due.
I fucking love it.
Definitely. Yeah, massive credit to. But it was not the best thing of the week. Because in at number one, although Keane may have talked himself out of it just by how enthusiastic he got. Yeah, in at number one, no, I think most people disagree. Or I think most people would agree. This is absolutely class. NXT TakeOver. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You're just on a come down.
My enthusiasm.
That's not a reflection of the show.
I think it is fair to put NXT at number one. I wouldn't normally put something at number one because it's bigger and more people saw it, but it was a really good show, in fairness.
Yeah.
Like, my three highlights, but feel free to chime in at any point with your own.
I didn't watch it, so I just want you to sell me on the show. So we'll go home.
He's all deflated after going on a big pro OTT rant.
I was about to build myself back up again. Sorry. Like, watch it. I don't watch AEW. yeah. So the opener, first of all, was our first big highlight. Keith Lee and
Dominic the Dijakovic.
Yeah, him.
No, I said Dominic the Dijakovic.
Dominic, that's the name. I was like, Donovan? What's the name? Donovan Dijak.
Dominic
Dijak. And now it's Dominic. Dominic.
Oh, God. Keith Lee and the other lad.
Keith Lee and the big tall lad.
The big lad.
I was looking like, no, I wasn't dreading the match or anything like that. I just didn't. I kind of just forgot it was happening. Mm. You know what I mean? It wasn't a match I really cared about. I had a side in it. I was cheering Keith Lee. So once the match was on, I was enjoying it. But I kind of forgot that it was happening. And it just fucking blew me away. Yes. Like the back and forth. I was like, what the fuck? Is this because Keith Lee seemed like sure to win it, and then like you actually watched it, like, oh, wait,
how do they keep doing this though?
I don't, they
like,
just
they've wrestled so many times, and yet they still come out with like classics every time,
and
it goes so under the radar as well. Like, you think of Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and stuff like that, but we know that's a big fucking feud, that's going to be class every time, but like, people just forget about this, and every time they knock it out of the park,
and Dijakovic nearly killed himself as well, by taking Keith Lee out on the chair.
Oh,
jump off the Bro, yeah. Fucking great.
I was in work talking to, shout out to Colm, and we were talking to another guy who's a wrestling fan, but he's not a huge wrestling fan. So he'd know, like, if he said Hurricanrana and stuff, and we started describing this, and he's like, that sounds class, lads. Like, where's that? And we're like, oh, it's like, he turns around and he's go, oh, is that Next? So there you go. He knows NXT exists, but he calls it Next. That's exactly his level. Like, so we're like, look up Keith Lee there. Google him on your computer. And he looked him up and he's like, he did a Hurricanrana. It's amazing. And like, you got to take that into account. We're used to it, but holy shit. Like, if you're looking at that fresh, like, that match is a whole new level. Like,
I mean, I'm probably skipping a lot here. Like, so feel free to jump in, but I want to mention the Broserweights against the Undisputed Era for the titles. First of all, I love the Broserweights. I think what they're doing is fucking amazing. They've got something really cool going on.
Yeah.
I'm entertained by, like, I know I'm not into the Bobby Fish stuff, but like, I'm still entertained by them every second they're speaking, every second they're wrestling. I love it. I think they gel so well together, but also the fact that they teased the miscommunication and breakdown of the team that I fully bought into. I was like, no way, no, this, you're not having them like split up after one fucking, like, yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, no, this can't be how it ends, don't do this to me. And then they won it and I was so happy. I was literally like, oh, I'm delighted. I hope they have a long title run. I really do. I like, it's just, they're just too fun to watch. They're too entertaining.
It works. It's one of those weird things that works. Also, as well, before we get to the main, I want to chime in. Balor against Gargano, like, was seriously fucking good. I loved how it was a slow build, but then it's like, and you're like, oh man, is this going to be another Balor match that kind of goes under the, like, you know the way those started, like, do you remember Balor Riddle? And it just wasn't what you hoped for from Balor Riddle. Do you know what I mean? When you think of how good that match potentially could be, and it's just, it never got there. And it's like, is this going to be another match? But they started slow, and then they got there, and you're like, man, Balor is still one of, like, when he just switches it on, he's one of the best going. I absolutely loved it. Also loved Charlotte against, or not Charlotte, Rhea against Bianca Belair. I'm loving how Bianca Belair is kind of invading that match. Like, she's making herself essential towards it. I loved how she kind of split the NXT crowd. I'm not saying that they should throw her in, but like,
see, my thing with that match is that I could never buy into it because I knew it was gonna be Rhea and Charlotte. I didn't know, yeah, you don't know these things, but like, I just sort of assumed this, so I couldn't really buy into it.
See, what I love about that whole feud on the week to week as well, even with the promos, Bianca Belair, out of the three of them, is the best promo. Do you know what I mean? So when she's coming in, and she's the best actor of the three as well, so she's the one that people are buying into. No matter how much they try and make it about the girls, like, if Bianca's in there, the crowd are chanting EST, EST. Do you know what I mean? So I love how she's kind of gatecrashing it, and it kind of feels like, do you remember when like, they didn't want Daniel Bryan in? They wanted it to be Orton against Batista, but it was like, no, Daniel Bryan's like, no, fuck you, I'm gonna be. I think
you can argue like Charlotte and Ronda.
Yeah, and Becky. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that's what I'm watching. Like, even in this, like, this was built to make Rhea Ripley. This was built to establish her as a dominant force. And look, she won or whatever, and it did what it needed to do. But the crowds weren't there to play ball. They were like, no, like, half of us love Bianca more, and we're going to cheer them. And, like, I know you want to make a new star, but I'm going to go this way because she's the most charismatic. She's the one we like. So that's why I love it. It's fascinating to watch from that standpoint, you know?
Yeah. And then the main event.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I suppose that's why this is number one, really. Like, the fucking, like, Adam Cole versus Tommaso Ciampa. I was so into this. I was convinced, like this is Ciampa's moment. This is his big moment.
Yeah.
And we're finally going to get him dethroning Adam Cole. Yeah.
Did you see his promo last week on NXT?
Oh, they might have skipped it.
Oh, this is one of the best promos of the year you're going to see. Even go back and watch this.
Which,
like, is fantastic.
Cole or Ciampa?
Ciampa. He's sitting in like a universe, in Full Sail University, and they played back a speech of when he broke his neck.
Oh, I did see this, yeah.
And he's watching it on it, and he just like absolutely goes psycho about like why he wants it, how he wants to get Goldie back, how he wants to get his life back, how it was taken away from him and stuff like that. It is well worth going out of your way, even if it's just watching it on YouTube. Like, it was fantastic. And yeah, it put me where I needed to be for this match, because I did need, like, I know they'd been generally in each other's business for the past few months and generally feuding, but like, they hadn't really like got me to the point where I wanted to see them fight.
Yeah, I was the same,
you know.
Yeah.
And then that got me there.
Yeah, it's just the way like Adam Cole threw every single thing at him and it wasn't enough, and you're like, oh shit, here we go, Undisputed Era interfering. He's like, nah, fuck that. He's just smacking him around, And then, could you describe the ending? Our brains just shot itself.
Yeah, it turned into a schmoz. Undisputed Era came down, and it's like, no, not this way. And it was one of those kind of things, and you kind of worried that it was. Then Ciampa ended up kicking out. Then Gargano came down to even the numbers. This was the low point of the show for me. I didn't like the very end of this match. I
thought it was dirty.
Okay, we can disagree. That's fine. Gargano turned on Ciampa and hit him with the belt. And the reason I didn't like it is because I'm like, we're doing this again? We're really going back to this, like, again? Like, they haven't established them enough. Now, I know that they wanted to in storyline with Ciampa celebrating when Gargano won the belt. But do you not remember Gargano had to turn face again because he was feuding with Ciampa and Ciampa got injured and they didn't have a main event. So Gargano had to turn face and win the belt as a stunt. And then they kind of teased at them doing DIY before Ciampa got hurt on Raw. And they teased at it in NXT, but they never got there. They were never actually officially back together. And then Gargano came down, made the save and turned on Ciampa again. And it's like, oh, we're getting another year of this. That's my feelings, but
well,
I don't
I'm
know.
Thinking like when Ciampa finally wins the belt again, if he does, I'm gonna be popping big for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that, but
yeah, no, I like, because again, I'm not overly invested in Ciampa versus Gargano either. I didn't really think of that actually. he's kind of sucked the fun out of me.
sorry.
I'm interested to see where it goes. Because I think they're going to have to do something different. That's why I'm interested, especially now in the current climate where they're really trying to push themselves, to the, you know, with AEW and stuff. I think they're going to reinvent stuff. I think there's things on the way that we don't expect, and that's why I'm curious to see what happens. You know
they
what
need
mean?
To just put new people in the main event scene. For years now, it's been Ciampa, Gargano, Undisputed Era, even Finn Balor coming back to NXT. Like, we've seen main eventer Finn Balor.
Well, we haven't seen this Balor.
Now the Prince character is completely fresh.
But, like, I just want more fresh.
Yeah, Katie's the tan.
But the thing about this is, I don't think, like, Ciampa Gargano, it's like, surely someone else can be in the main event for the title then and stuff, you know what I mean?
I think they're going to do Ciampa or something like Ciampa, Gargano, Cole and Balor in, like, a four-way. I don't see how Balor doesn't have a claim to the title now. Like, after beating Gargano, Gargano's back in the mix.
Oh, Balor Cole! Oh!
Balor Cole could be fun.
Oh, that's going to be slick. You see, that's what I mean? Like, I can't wait. See, well, for me, another reason I'm happy is that it ended. And it wasn't a bad feud, but now it's like Balor Gargano's over and they can, like, do something else with Balor. That's another reason I was really excited to see where
it went. That's fair. I'm okay with that.
And also, we're not going to get, like, Cole versus Ciampa 2 or something, you know what I mean? Was that the first match they had? No.
So, we'll get Gargano Ciampa 17.
Yeah. I think I'm optimistic for NXT. Okay. I just think we don't know where it's going to go.
I love this show. I love watching NXT. I like watching NXT more than AEW. For me, it hits home more
often.
Yeah,
I'd be in the same boat.
AEW can be very hit and miss when it's high. It's high. I thought last week's episode of AEW was great. So I enjoyed that. But like, when it's high, it's high. But like, a lot of the time, there's a lot of lows. But NXT is just, it's steadily an 8. You know what I mean? It's a steady 8 out of 10.
Plus, Velveteen Dream is back. I actually am surprised I didn't see Velveteen Dream in that main event.
Yeah, there's a lot. I thought that's where it was going, and that's how Gargano was going to win. But obviously, there's different plans. So, it's an interesting one, and now we get the fantasy book all the way up to Mania as well. So, interesting times. That was the week that was. Anyway, guys, we are back on Friday with Ask Low Blows. So, your questions are already got in. We've got a great bunch. We're going to be back with that. But until then, Katie, have you got anything on this weekend? Or
no, I'm going to go watch the School of Irish Wrestling show on Saturday. And shout out to the Deadly Graphics they've been putting on.
I
knew you'd love
them.
The Rootless little videos. Aggression. Like, it's just a really clever way to make a show stand out. So I'm probably going to go check that out because the first one was a lot of fun. So I'm going to go watch this one.
The last one was absolutely batshit, you were saying before.
Oh yeah, one of my favourite shows I've seen in Ireland. It was just literally like the most random batch of wrestlers you've ever seen in fun matchups that you've never seen before.
And it's in the School of Irish Wrestling.
No, I think it's... is it actually in Drimna? It's in Drimna.
I don't know what the venue is exactly, but yeah.
This Saturday. Check it out.
If they check out their Twitter, it has all the details.
Yeah, I'll retweet off Low Blows. Corporate Keen, anything coming up in the pipeline for YouTube in the future? Not the future, like, you're going to make videos again, but, like...
My plan... I think Katie, could you not die when I'm trying to fucking... Look, she always has to be the main event.
I know, has to be the main event.
You know what, that's why...
dying.
Am I not the last thing that we discussed?
There's no plug. Katie ruined my plug.
Alright, well, there was going to be actually a really exciting... There was a really exciting moment there, but I guess, well...
Thanks, Katie.
Look, on that note...
Bye.
That's about... No, you don't sign off this show. This is why... This is why I'm lying, because Loblo said so.
Right.
No! Asshole. I suppose you want to cough again, do you?